Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Yes, 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 yes. Praise His name. How many of you have not praised Him enough yet? Three, four, well, praise the Lord again. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. It's so good to be here. Isn't life wonderful? How many of you have something that is sort of like a weighty thing that you're going through right now, or it's sort of occupying some of, maybe a lot of your time? How many of you are going through something right now that is... That's a real thing for you. Stand to your feet. See, we're not exempt as Christians from going through stuff. But we do have a promise. He's going with us. We're not alone. He's going with us. Two things I know I'm supposed to tell you that are going through something a little bit heavy. The Lord wants you to remind you that, and I don't remember the passages. You have to look them up. But I was trying to look them up, and the computer wouldn't work. So I think the internet was sort of floating down. But one is that with all the universe, matter of fact, everybody needs to stand up for this because this includes you. All right, thank you, thank you. He said He measures all the universe with the span of His hand. With the span of His hand, He measures all the universe, everything. Everybody do this. It's all measured. That's how He does it. And actually, there's one version of that in the Hebrew says that the span of His fingers is like this. So do this. He's got everything of this universe measured by Him. So you're included, whatever you're going through, He's got it measured. Amen. Here's number two. He holds us with His everlasting arms. With all these new babies coming in, I got to hold one myself, you know, so it's the little, I mean, she's a little bitty thing. But in the arms of great grandpa, when you cradle a baby, all they do is rest. Now they do let you know if they're hungry, and they do let you know if they need to go. No, they let you know they've already gone. I'll get it right, man. But see, what God is telling us today, I've already measured everything that's ever been made. I've already measured it. And the second thing is He has you in His everlasting arms. Feel Him holding you. Acknowledge He's holding you. God, I'm glad You got me. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, He's got you and He's got this. Go ahead and tell your neighbor. And you may be seated. Amen. Remind me of that song when we were little. He's got the whole world. That is great, because I think that second chorus, we had all the verses sang at one time. You sort of picked the one you wanted, and you picked the one you wanted, and so we got it all covered. And that's family, though, isn't it? That's the family of God. It really is. That's the family of God. I want you to go to, Daniel 1 is where we're going to wind up going, but I want to talk to you a minute about part two of the spirit of excellence. A couple of weeks ago, we started to talk to you a little bit about the being excellent in spirit. And it came out of the book of Daniel, but it was a lot of other references as well. But we're going to follow that theme, follow that thought. But the first thing I want to tell you, that one of the biggest enemies, do you know that the spirit of excellence has a huge enemy? And it's called status quo. Just status quo. Have you ever heard anybody say, it is what it is? You know, I've actually said that a time or two. Well, it is what it is. Well, it may be, but it doesn't have to stay that way. Amen. Amen. But see, the status quo is one of those things that keeps us stuck in where we are. How many of you know that God does not want you stuck where you are in life? You know, we need to be a people that is on a journey, not just born again and sitting. We're on a journey. It's a journey with Him and in Him, and He's in us, to be able to complete everything that He said that we're supposed to complete in our life. How many of you think you're finished? How many think in all of your years of being with the Lord, you really just started? Yeah, we really just started. We just got started in this. But the status quo is a state of the way things are without any more movement. And we can't be people like that. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul came out in Romans, and that's probably one of my favorite verses in Romans 12. You know, he says, do not be conformed to this world. How many of you know that this world wants to conform you? And I think Phillips' translation has a good way of saying it. It said, do not let the world squeeze you into its mold to pressure you into what it says you need to do, what the world, what it says you should be, and how you should act, how you should talk. See, the Lord knows that there's external pressures in our life that turns a lot into internal pressures. And He says, but do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, of our mind, so that we may be able to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You and I can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God by being transformed. That doesn't come by being born again. Born again happens first, then transformation happens. And transformation only happens when we are letting our mind be renewed, and in the process of renewing what God is saying, what God is doing. How many of you have ever disagreed with God? What's the rest of y'all holding? Y'all still waiting to disagree with Him? Or you've done it and you didn't want to talk about it. So let's go with that one. I say sometimes we've disagreed with God, and it's not like a belligerent thing. It's just that we just don't act like it. He says this, but we don't act like it. Now, how many of you have ever disagreed with God? So yeah, he says you are more than conquerors. Everybody raise both hands. Okay, nobody's got broken arms. I'm with you now. I got you. See, we have disagreed with God about things, and we don't live out what He's put in. We think we've got to make it be in us We've got to create it in us. He's already created it, and he has it measured. And he's got you and I in the cradle of his everlasting arms. It'll never go away. But anyway, status quo is an enemy to an excellent spirit, because it wants us to stay where we are. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in one version, it says, present your bodies unto God, a living sacrifice. One version says, put yourself at the disposal of God. It's showing up saying, here I am. Do what you want to do. Lead me where you want to lead me. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to follow you with your help. And it's always with his help. Another part of that in another version says this, don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking about it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of maturity, of immaturity, I should say. God brings the best out of you and I, and he develops maturity inside us just by us saying, yes, Lord. Tell your neighbor, yes, Lord. You're saying yes, Lord, to him. And we gotta be able to do that. Daniel 1, before we do that, let me say this, that the status quo is living without significance. Does your life have significance? Does it have a purpose? Does it have a meaning? And are you connected to that purpose, and are you connected to that meaning of life? Daniel chapter 1 says this. The first two verses are amazing to me. Just some things opened up. He said, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and captured Judah. Put him in captivity for 70 years. Put him in captivity. But I want you to notice that he came and he conquered. But notice what verse 2 said. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. You see that? Verse 1, he showed up and conquered. Held and got them captive and took them off, drug them off to Babylon. Verse 2 said, and the Lord gave the king of Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon. The Lord gave him to him. Do you get that? What is significant about that? The first part is history. You can look and see the facts that happened during 603 BC, and you begin to see what happened. You can study it in history. This was a fact. But verse 2 is the actual thing that happened. You may be going through something that is a fact, that's something very difficult, something very hard, something very strange, something very overwhelming. But you have a verse 2 in your life. God allowed this to happen. But see, how many of you know that when he measures, he has all of this. Every bit of it. When we sing, he's got the whole world, he's got it all. But see, we have a verse 2. God's behind everything. He has a purpose for everything that you and I are going through. One of our favorite verses is Romans what? 8 and 28. What does it say?
For we know.
All. So you begin to see that whatever we're going through, there's a chapter two that God's in on this, and he has a plan for you to prosper in the midst of what you're going through. We can't focus just on verse one. We've been captured. We've been overtaken. We've got this going on. We've got that going on. We've got these things that we've got the finances that are this. We've got trouble in the family. We've got trouble in the neighborhood. We've got trouble here. And with the weight of the pressure is still on us. The whole time, the world is pressing into a mold that it shaped. The world made the mold that it wants us to get into. But even though we're going through these things, and I say the word through. I heard this, somebody said, not original, but he said, when you're going through hell, don't stop. When you're going through this difficult time, don't stop. Here's a couple right here that had tragedy in their life that took their ability to walk on two legs. Would y'all stand up? You know, but they're walking. You know what they didn't do? They didn't stop. They didn't quit. And they hadn't quit today. Both of them serving the Lord in church. We can't stop. It was a fact of what happened. But verse 2 said, I'm in on this. I got this. And the purpose of their life was altered, impacted by the world, but fulfilled by God. Their purpose never stopped. God's purpose for their lives never stopped. They're both worshipers. They both love Jesus. They both love each other. Went through difficult times with family, with friends. Yeah, yeah, go ahead and love on her. Go ahead. You can do it. Just do it in public. Just go ahead and do it right in there. Yeah. But see, they didn't stop. They didn't quit. Yeah, you may suffer some things in this world, but don't quit. Don't stop. Because verse 2 is about to be written in your life. We know the who, what, and how, and we know all that. But see, what we don't know a lot of times is the why. Why did this happen? And a lot of times we don't know that at the very beginning. But we know who's holding us. We know who has it measured. We know who he is. And he got us in his hands. No matter what we're going through, we're only going through what we're going through. And it's going to make us better people. It's going to make us different people. But we'll always be his people for his glory, for who he is. And we will shine for him. No matter how dark it gets, we're the not moonshiners. We're the sunshiners. Y'all hear me? We're the sunshiners. We're the ones that walks right in the middle of darkness, and people say, "What's that? What's that? What's going on? What's that? What? Why?" Because light has showed up. Light and life and purpose has showed up. Have you ever thought in your life that you lost your purpose? You sort of lost your way? You may have. He never has. And he'll bring it right back around to another verse to be able to show you what he has for you and what it is that you're supposed to do. Just resting in his arms. So life happens unexpectedly. There's some things that happens unexpectedly. All of a sudden, a phone call happens or something just happens. And it looks like tragedy, and it feels like tragedy, and it feels like so much pain, and it is. See, the fact doesn't go away. You don't change the facts. You enter into his next season. You enter into his purpose, even though the facts are the facts. Life does come with unexpected things. But there's one thing is for certain. He is who he says he is. We are who he says we are. And he had, there's nothing that's hadn't touched, nothing that has touched our life that hasn't come through him first. But see, we say, well, why? You may not have that answer yet. But you do know who. We know who. And we know that he has it. And we know that the next verse that's about to be written in your life, I'm not talking about a verse in the Bible, there's a verse that's going to be written in your life and upon your heart that's going to take everything about this fact, and he's going to show you his purpose for you. Have you know that he is a good God? We sing about it. He is good, he is faithful, he is true, he is our Savior. He is everything we've ever needed. And you begin to see, well, God, these two perspectives in these two verses, sometimes I struggle with. Sometimes we do. The struggle is real. The fact is real. But also, there's an actuality that belongs to God. Yes, this may be a fact, but this is actually what's happening. That's God. See, it is God who holds the why. As he holds you, he holds the why. As he holds you, he holds your purpose. He holds your life. As he holds us, he holds our purpose. For us to be able to live it out in the fullness of how he said this needs to be. So we begin to see that he is... somebody said one time that God is always behind the scenes. You know, well, he also moves the scenes wherever he wants to move it to. You see what I'm saying? You sort of get stuck in this thing about feeling down, despair, depressed, and have this thing that's created by the enemy to stop us in progressing with the kingdom of God. And God's purpose in our life. See, the enemy wants to stall that out. See, God is always there saying, no, I know the scene. I see the scene. I'm in the scene. And now I'm about to move the scene. He's a scene mover. He can move this thing from whatever it is that we're feeling to the place that we can faithfully worship him. And sometimes worship is a sacrifice. Have you know what? How do you get a sacrifice? In biblical times, what's the first thing that had to happen for a sacrifice to be made? Something had to die. Sometimes something has to die inside us to be able to give the sacrifice of praise. But I don't feel like praising. We don't walk by feelings. I didn't say we don't have them. We have feelings. He's created for us to have feelings. But we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Faith in God alone. The provision that God has made for us. He is behind the scenes. He holds the why. And to be honest with you, see, what's happening here is when we get on into this thing, these are teenagers. This happened See, all of a sudden, they're fine with their family. Here's Daniel and the three Hebrew children and all those guys, and they're all carried off from comfort, from peace, from everything that they knew. They've been captivated, and everything that they knew, they were taken 800 miles away. And they didn't have jets. So an 800-mile walk, somebody look that up. I should have looked it up. An 800-mile walk, how long is that going to take us to get there? So you won't find it. You're probably not going to find it in here, but you can find it on that little thing that's called an iPhone. That's called a phone. But see, here's 800-mile walking away from everything that they knew is peace and everything that they knew is God. They were taken from temple worship, where they went to worship. They were taken from that. They were taken from the reading of the Word of God, the reading of the Torah. They were taken from that. They were captivated, taken away from the very things of God, and put into a place called Babylon. They worship many gods. They didn't want to recognize Jehovah, and they didn't recognize Jehovah. So they're here, they're taken from that as teenagers. And I know we have some teenagers. How many, what is it? What is that? 10 days? 10 days, that's... You know, that family, Gina grew up with deaf parents, and they do all this kind of stuff. And he's back there saying, I know what this is. It is 10. What is this? Is that ish? Yeah. Okay. So if they straight walking, they're walking for 10 straight days, night and day to get there. But they just out. So it took them a little while to get there. But they were taken from everything that was called normal to them. Everything that was of God. The godly influence, gone. Gone. And the king is wanting a different frame of mind in those children. A different way of thinking. He said, he brought them in, and he brought in the king's descendants and the nobles and the young and all the young men with who had no blemish. And they were good looking. They were good looking. That's what the Bible said. They're good looking, gifted with all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and was very quick to understand things. And he did it for who had the ability to serve in the king's palace. See, the king's got an agenda. I'm gonna conform these teenagers into the ways of the Chaldeans in Babylon. They're going to become servants of the king. His whole motive is for them to serve him. That was his whole motive. You need to understand today, we're still under the pressure of the enemy. Still have these things from the enemy that wants to pressure us into becoming like the world. So when you see you and maybe another lost person, they can't tell the difference. Why? The reason you can't tell the difference is because we fit the mold. But when you can see the light, when you can see the very life of God inside us as we talk, as we walk, and as we spend days and time around other people that don't know him, you can see a difference. Matter of fact, when the children of Israel was going to go through the wilderness and God said, okay, here's where we're going to go, here's what we're going to go do. And Moses said, we don't want to go. Matter of fact, we ain't going unless you go with us. Why do that? He explained why. Because when we get to where we're going, how, if you don't go with us, how will they ever tell the difference between us and them? It is the presence of God. We are living arks carrying the presence of God, which means that everything that we say, everything that we do, with every movement that we make should be one that it has God all over it. Taking things back when they gave you one too many. Well, you know, no, yeah, I do know. I bought three of these, but you gave me four. Praise God, that's a blessing from God. No, that's a mistake by an employee. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. They gave me back too much change. Wasn't but a quarter, but they gave me back two. Praise God, I got blessed by maybe an extra dollar. No, they made a mistake by giving you too much change. Now, we got a decision to make. That might sound simple, but how you do anything is how you're going to do everything. If this is nothing to you, then when it gets a little bigger, it won't be anything to you there. How you do anything, it'll be how you do everything. So you begin to understand that this conformity by the king is wanting them to become just like them. The world wants us to do the same thing. There's four things that I want to discuss real quick. Is one of the things that he wanted to, one of the things he did, and this is what we have to watch out for. One of the things he did was he put them in isolation. He took them from what they were used to and put them over here in a strange place and isolated them. The enemy wants to isolate us from the Word of God, from a house of worship, from praying. All of a sudden, you're not reading your Bible as often as you should. Maybe you're not reading it at all. Who knows? That's isolation from the Word of God, and it's the enemy's plan to isolate you. It's the enemy's plan not to have you fellowship with other Christians. That's the enemy's plan. So you're isolating. He wants to isolate you from the body of Christ. I don't need that. That ain't what God says. He measured it. And he said, you do need each other. Because he's speaking to other people, not just to you. So isolation is one of those. It won't matter. I'll just stay out. I'll just stay gone. It won't matter. Yeah, it will matter. Why? It's the number one plan of the enemy to isolate us from the things of God. First one was what? Isolation. Second one is indoctrination. He said, we're going to teach them our language and our literature. So he's going to indoctrinate. You know, there's a lot of indoctrination going on now to the kids. Indoctrination away from God. Your parents don't, listen to this, your parents don't know enough. And we're going to help you decide which gender you want to be. Isolation. Isolate from parents. It's happening. It is not something that we need to see coming. It is here. It's here. Indoctrination. You know, one of the biggest things with college kids, kids that's getting out of high school, going to college, they will attack anybody and everybody that is saying, I'm a Christian. They'll do everything they possibly can. Most, I'm not saying everybody, most will do everything they possibly can to get you to disbelieve what you believe. That's indoctrination. How much have we been indoctrinated? For instance, God tells you that you can do whatever He asks you to, you have the ability to do. Well, some of the first words that comes out of our mouth when He says for us to go do something. Come on, anybody. I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm too young. All of a sudden, all of these come. Why? What's that come from? Indoctrination. God says you can. God says, I'll help you. I'll do it through you if you just surrender. I'll do it through you if you just surrender. So that's part of the enemy's way of whispering in our ear, saying, mm-mm. You remember, listen, have you ever heard this? You remember the other day when you smarted off. You said something very crude, rude, or something very bad to someone the other day. Do you remember that? And you say what? Yeah, I remember that. Well, how in the world are you going to be able to witness for God today? Well, I get your point. Can't do it. See, the enemy wants to shut down everything for God that is coming out of us, coming to it. He wants to shut all of that down. He wants to close that in and hem us into isolation and without any fellowship, without any contact, without any family, without any wisdom coming to us. He wants to shut all of that down. So we'll follow His voice. You know, the Bible says, when agree with your enemy quickly. You know how I do that? When the enemy whispers in my ear about something that either I acted a certain way, had a bad attitude, or had this, or had that, whatever it was that really wasn't Christ-like, whatever he brings to my attention, I've learned to do this. Yeah, I did do that. Yes, I did say that. Be in agreement and then go do something about it. So, yeah, I need to go ask Clint to forgive me. Clint, I was ignoring you the other day, and I just want to ask you to forgive me. Y'all hear me? I want to ask you to forgive me. Well, I forgive you, Terry. It wasn't anything, but I forgive you. And then you just say, enemy, you got anything else you want to remind me of? You got anything else you want to tell me? I'll go make that right too. I'll go make that right. Why? Because that's who we are. That's who we are. The world wants to change that. The world wants to take whatever we do wrong, just don't worry about it, and just let it fester out here and just let it grow into what it needs to grow into from the darkness. So the second thing is indoctrination. So we have to be careful of what, really, we have to be careful of what's going, you know, listen, in Paris the other day, they have this big celebration, and you know, we have Michelangelo's Lord's Supper picture and everything, but the gays and transgenders and they decided they'd do one. So they'd depict the Lord's Supper in it. Mockery of Christ, a mockery of Christianity. Now, we can say, oh, well, it wasn't nothing. Oh, yeah, it was something. You know, but see, it should stir you that that's being done. But you know what it should stir us to do? It should stir us to pray for France. to pray for the leaders, for the organizers. It should we should be loud in our voices. That's sacrilege. That's against my God. That's against my Lord. Our voice should be heard. But see, another voice that should be heard would be our prayer to God to change their hearts. But listen, we're more prone to criticize than we are prone to pray at some times. Not all the time. Our voices should be heard, but our voices should be heard in heaven to the Lord. So, indoctrination. We have isolation, we have indoctrination. Indoctrination is no less anything than brainwashing. Brainwashing. Don't want you thinking this way, I want you thinking that way. Be thinking our way. Matter of fact, our world has already had some of that influence all over it. See, this thing called wokeism, just disagree. You'll be canceled. You'll be criticized. They'll try to take everything you have just by disagreeing. Why? There's a certain part of brainwashing that's already in effect. We got to take a stance. No. So indoctrination is the brainwashing. Intimidation. Babylon was 300, the walls in Babylon was 325 feet tall. The walls were 85 feet thick. It's 110 feet from this wall to that wall. 85 feet of that is the thickness of their wall. And the Euphrates River ran right through it. I mean, it is the intimidation of what they came from. And what they were taken to was big, was enormous. So they wanted to intimidate. And then they also, in that process, matter of fact, inside that, there were hanging gardens in the middle of Babylon that was once called one of the seven wonders of the world. In the ancient times, it was one of the seven wonders of the world, this hanging garden. So they had all this influence, and then think about, then they didn't have this 10 walk, and then, and what do you think is going through their mind? Where's God? Where's God? Why isn't he doing something about this? Where's God? Why are we out walking? Why have we been taken captive? Where's God? We all have said it. Where's God in this? Where's God? He'll show up. See, the whole time that they were going through this, Daniel was being trained to have such an influence that he influenced four kings. This king would die, this king would die. He influenced four kings. God had set the plan in motion for him and those Hebrew children to influence the terrain and where they were with God's word. They were saying, okay, well, another thing we're going to do, we're going to give them food, we're going to give them the king's food and the king's wine. And for them, and before the king ate it, the food and the wine was offered to all the pagan gods first. And then it went to the king, and then he gave it to them. And it was against the dietary law of the Jews to be able to eat that. So here he is under pressure again. And we'll talk about that some next week, but we don't have time to go into, you know, how to answer the thing we've been told to do that is against God, how to answer that. We'll talk some more about that next week. So you begin to see that the pressure is on. And the last thing that they did was they renamed them. They renamed them. They all had God names, names that meant something from God, the provider, the, you know, just what it was. Now, I'll tell you, some of them written down, Daniel's name meant God is my judge. It is God who is my judge. God is my judge. And they changed that to Baal, the God, will protect the king. So they named Daniel after a god and says that you will protect the king. So they changed the name and changed the identity. Because they wanted them to take on a different view. Instead of thinking like little Jewish teenagers that they're supposed to do, with the word of God, with the influence of God, with the influence of parents, with the influence of their culture, we want you to be influenced by the pressure that you're under. And we'll change your names. So they renamed them. You know, you're named, you are named before ever coming to Christ. Your name was what? What were you called? Not by your life name, but what were you called biblically without Christ? You don't have a Christ. You don't have Christ. So, sinner. What? Sinner. Say it loud. Sinner. Can y'all say it louder? Sinner. Sinner was your name. Sinner was my name. Say it loud. Sinner. But coming to know Christ, what is your name? Saint. Nah, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. I heard one man tell me, he said, I was a sinner and I was a good one. He was a sinner and he was a good one. And I said, well, what are you now? He said, well, I'm still an old sinner saved by grace. And I said, nope, nope, nope. You're disagreeing with what God calls you. What does he call me? I said, he calls you a saint. How good are you at that? I'm not too good at a saint. He's already got that covered. He's made you righteous. He's made you a saint. He's made you a saint. He's made you who you are. All you got to do is just cooperate with what he says. Agree with him. Terry's name is Terry. That's my name as well. When we're together, we're in Terrio. But see, the thing about Terry, you know, somebody asked, I love names and what they mean. I said, my name is Smooth Polished One. You scoff. You laugh. You laugh to my face. Brenda laughed too when I told her. And then I found out, said, well, I'm a smooth, polished one. And I really realized I hadn't lived up to that name. So he gave me a wife. Her name was Brenda. Brenda's name is Fiery One. Giver of great light. So I'm like, okie dokie. So she has helped polish me, if there is any polish. But see, I don't depend on that name. I depend on the name that Christ gave me. More than a conqueror, I am. Can you say the same? Say that. More than a conqueror, I am. Why you say that? And that's what he said. In Christ Jesus. So this thing of an excellent spirit cannot be fooled by the status quo. The Bible said, I didn't have time to read it, but the main scripture of this thing is in Daniel, I think it's verse 9, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He had made a decision. His decision became his conviction. His decision became a conviction that was laid as a template on his heart. He purposed in his heart not to be defiled. The spirit of excellence is one that has purposed in our heart not to defile ourselves. Follow Jesus. Don't see this thing of an excellent spirit that we're talking about does not look for excuses not to do what you need to do or make excuses for what's been done. Let's stand to our feet. When I look at some teenagers that are in here, and I look at the future, and I look, and if I'm only looking at the world, I'm going to say, what are these kids going to do? If I'm only going to look at the world. But I look at God, and I look at these kids, I look at these young ones, and I said, the world better look out. Because there's a call on these children, and we're going to help them reach the fullness of who they are in God by showing them and teaching them an excellent spirit. You go beyond. While the whole time, God's got it, and he's got us, and he's got them. Father, I thank you for the word today. I thank you, God, that we can have a heart full of purpose. We can have determination in you. Because once we make our decisions and our choices to follow you, we can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make that claim. Be that person with that excellent spirit. That spirit of excellence in everything that we do, and show forth the glory of God, because God still has other things for each and every one of you and me to finish in the face of darkness, in the face of the enemy, in the face of everything that they want to throw at us. We have a purpose of God dwelling in our heart to be activated and released on this darkness to bring light to a world that so desperately needs who Jesus is. They don't need to just hear about it. Lord, help us to demonstrate it with our words, with our actions, with our countenance, with our behavior, that we would influence and impact every person, any person, every person that we're around in the future, present and future, that will show forth your glory. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen, amen. Mark your calendars, August 11th. We're having a back-to-school bash, and we're going to pray over our kids, and we're going to send them out for a new season to walk in excellence like Pastor's talking about. So make sure you mark your calendars. August 11th, back to school bash.
And it's going to be at the
swimming pool. Spindale. Listen to how old I am. It's Far City Swimming.
Yeah. It'll be at a swimming pool.
Yeah. Callison's.
I'm sorry? Yeah. Okay. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to go.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.